Ben Warnold and Michael Snyder, namely probing local non-Gaussianity in CMD with an Bayesian approach. And this work is very much in progress, so I can give you only some interim results, but this has the advantage that the talk will be shorter. Okay, I'll start with a short outline of my talk. I'll give you a short introduction to the non-Gaussianity. Then we'll discuss what has been done up to now to detect local non-Gaussianity and how I think we can improve this approach using Bayesian techniques. And I'll test the new Bayesian technique on simulated data sets and finally summarize the system that is started with short motivation. You probably all know this famous picture from the WMAP team. And it has turned out that probing the CMD is a very valuable tool in constraining the bulk of fundamental parameters of the universe. And so it's a more or less natural question whether we can further constrain the error of inflation down here using the CMD background and sample calculate the amplitude of non-Gaussianity. Okay, I'll continue with a short sum up of the notation I'll be using. The A elements we can finally observe in the CMD here are mapped via this integral equation. On the one hand side, we have the primordial perturbation of adiabatic kind, phi. This is a variable introduced by Badin, in fact, in 1980, and it's gauge invariant by construction. And on the other hand, we have some isocurvature perturbation, and both are mapped via the radiation transfer function to the A elements. And of course, as we can only do a real world experiment, we have to deal with some noise here, and probably as well as some beam smearing function. But as the isocurvature perturbation is known to be small, we will neglect this term completely and only concentrate on here on the adiabatic perturbations. Now, some the model of local non-Gaussianity we have seen so far, a lot of time, but let me do this. The idea is to expand the non-Gaussian potential in a power series of a purely Gaussian field, auxiliary field phi L. And for our proposals, it's sufficient to go up to order phi L squared to do that. And we so neglect terms of phi L order, and we further think it's sufficient to take the amplitude of non-Gaussianity of an L to be scale invariant. This model is, in fact, predicted by a wide field of inflationary models. On the one hand side, by typical multi-field models as curvature models, or more recently, probably by bouncing universe model motivated by string theory. So, a lot of work has been done to detect local non-Gaussianity in a typical approach would be to calculate the bispectrum of the Fourier transform of the three-point function. And then the source term here to the right, you see there's a dependency on F and L. This is in fact proportional to F and L. And you, for purely Gaussian field, you would expect that this bispectrum is exactly to zero. And if it's not zero, you can normalize it to have an unbiased measure for the F and L. Unfortunately, it's computationally very expensive to calculate the bispectrum, and some intelligent people have derived a faster alternative, the KSW estimator, which is an estimator, again, proportional to F and L, it's unbiased, and yeah, it can be used to calculate the level of non-Gaussianity. You may wonder, we have presented here some variable techniques, and so you may ask why we should care about another technique I'll present now, but the frequentist approaches, I think, suffer all from some fundamental problems. Here I've divided this into two parts. The fast estimator I've just showed you has some unwanted properties, or not so nice properties. First of all, it's not strictly optimal. It's almost optimal, but not strictly. So the error bars on the FNL parameter will be larger than that predicted by official information matrix analysis. And it uses, of course, information from the three-point function only. And as we have heard yesterday, for example, and there may be some of contribution from higher order correlators, but not too much, probably. But here, the second point is more important, I think, and has to do with the uncertainties you will inevitably have to address. For example, beam systematic beam distortion, of course, foregone subtraction is always an important point, and even the cosmological parameters you use for your analysis are certainly not perfectly constrained. And it's up to now, it's not clear how to propagate all these errors attributed here to the final result of FNL. And I think, therefore, the question lies, can we improve the analysis? And I think we can do it, and we should do it. And I'll show you how can we do it in this in a Bayesian approach. This is just to remind them the notation. The signal on the sky is mapped via this integral from the primordial gravitational perturbations. And this integral can be performed over K, and the main integral over R are split up into a sum here. And for simplicity, I'll only write this one term for clarity. And the signal on the sky will be mapped to the final data. We have beam convolution matrix, and of course we have some foreground terms and noise terms. And the subscript I means that we can have several frequencies, so we will have an bulk of data sets. From the remainder of my talk, I'll write this equation only without the subscript, and I'll neglect the foregrounds, but the inclusion is quite straightforward. So we can start as our Bayesian approach, and this is what we want. And a Bayesian approach, you don't, you're not satisfied just by the peak value of FNL and the estimate of the error. No, you really want the full posterior density, the probability of FNL given the data. The whole function. Okay, and that's our aim, and now we show that it may be possible to achieve it. Start with the probability for the joint distribution, and that's the probability for the data for phi out of auxiliary field FNL, and here all the remainder of the cosmological parameters. And for simplicity, I will subsume the cosmological parameters until now in this theta. So wherever you see theta, this means the remainder of the cosmological parameters. And as I already show here, it's possible to separate this probability into four independent terms, and you have to read it from the left to the right. As here, the prior of FNL and the prior of the parameter theta, which we both assume to be flat, but it's, of course, you can include much information from baryonic oscillations, supernova, or whatever, here to determine the prior of theta. The next term is the prior of the Gaussian field phi L. And this is a multivariate Gauss. It's, of course, it's Gauss because phi L is Gaussian and by construction. And here the signal covariance matrix pi, or P, can be calculated via the power spectrum from inflation. That's related to the power spectrum from inflation. And so we have this term And the final term is the probability of the data given VL, FNL. And this is again a Gaussian term with a noise vector. And of course, I don't want the noise vector as a variable. I re-express this, and this is possible because if you remember that the data is just a sum of signal plus noise, you can write the noise as a difference between data minus signal. And if I do this, this exponent expands at that, but it's just as before, this is the noise term, data minus signal. Okay, and as we have found the expression for these probabilities, we can find an exact expression for phi, for the joint density. And it's proportional to this quite large expression. And as you see, it's nonlinear in the exponent. And if you would be able to calculate it completely, then you are done, because all the information encoded in the system is here in this probability density. And you can do it, for example, by Hamiltonian sampling. And I put it a question mark here because it's not what we'll finally do. This is just an example I show you for simulated data sets. I will not go into detail because it turns out that it's very inefficient. It's, as you see here, I'll discuss this later on, that the autocorrelation function of the chain will be extremely large. And thus we have to think about it. Yeah?
Sampling?
Oh, I try to go not into detail. But I can sketch the idea at least. And the idea is to adopt method from classical dynamics. And you treat the probability as a.
There are chunks, I think, in there. There's a bar.
You can treat the probability as a. As a Hamilton operator. And here the P is the joint density, and then you assign to the variables momentum, and what this momentum and you have what this momentum with your ordinary equations of motions you have in classical dynamics. But as said, it's very inefficient, and so we thought about another method. And I'll present it now. Yes, and we on the left hand side we have our posterior density we want to calculate. Here I have the cosmological data set still in. And this marginalization over the nonlinear potential and times these two conditional probabilities. Up to now, nothing had specialists in this equation, and it's more or less meaningless unless we are able to calculate these conditional probabilities. And this what I'd like to show you now. So our aim will be to calculate this probability first, this conditional probability, and then the conditional probability of FNL. So how can we calculate the conditional probability of phi NL? Over here we had a joint expression for phi L and phi and FNL. And now the task is to find an analogous expression where we have replaced these two quantities by the nonlinear potential phi and L. And this in the first term it's quite straightforward. As you can see here, it's just the data minus the signal as before, but the second term will make some complications because we have now to consider phi L as a function of phi and L. This expression cannot directly be expressed by a simple function of phi and L. And we do an approximation here. We just simply write it as phi and L times the very same covariant signal matrix times phi and L. And this is, of course, an approximation. But it will be a conservative estimate, as I will argue soon, because this you can identify this equation as the Wiener-Filter equation. Wiener-Filter equation consists of two terms, one the noise term here to the left and the signal term to the right. And the idea of the Wiener-Filter is just to replace the noise by to aggressively replace the noise in Fourier space, for example, and replace it by artificial signal. And this replacement by artificial signal will now take place with the Gaussian signal. So we Gaussify the whole expression, and our estimator will be conservative. Unless this first term will dominate, and that means the data will overwhelm the prior. Okay, and now with this approximation, we are able to calculate the conditional probabilities I've shown you before. We want to use, we want to find an expression for phi and L given the data and theta. And this now straightforward is the joint entity just before from the previous slide is Gaussian. And so we can find just by derivating the expression, the mean and the variance of this Gaussian variable phi L as a function of the data and theta. Okay, so we have the first conditional probability, and the second conditional probability is slightly more complex, only slightly. Remember that we want, we have to calculate the conditional probability of f and l given phi n l. And we do this as an integral over phi l and this expression, so the phi l will drop out completely of this equation. And the first term here has a nice property that it's a delta function. Here you can identify the definitional equation of the phi of the local non-Gaussian energy form times the prior. And as it's a delta function, we can evaluate it analytically. And this is what we found. We found a year exponent with this phi L tilde, I denoted it. It's a almost Gaussian probability density because we have a prefactor which comes from the Jacobian of you know, the substitution. And the phi L tilde is the inversion of the definition equation of the local non-Gaussianity. And you can note that we can resolve the ambiguity in sign. There may, it's mathematically possible to have a minus here as well. But the second solution is highly suppressed by the prior. So it's an excellent approximation to take on the plus solution here. Okay. And we know Gaussianity case, yes, excellent.
Yeah, okay.
And now we have set up the conditional probabilities and we'd like to sample from them now. And how we do it with a numerically with the Monte Carlo algorithm and let the Monte Carlo algorithm explore the conditional probability densities. And we use the following scheme. We first draw phi and L from the conditional probability of just told you phi and L given the data. And then we take the outcome of phi and L and plug it in the conditional density for f and L given phi and L. And now we sample f and L given this phi and L. And in the end, after you have drawn sufficient number of samples, the f and l here, the set of f and l's are samples from the posterior density we'd like to calculate. You see, we have to marginalize, we can also marginalize over the cosmological parameters in this draws here. So, okay, this is our new Bayesian approach. And you may wonder, it sounds quite complicated, so why should we do this? And I think it's worth doing it, because in the Bayesian approach, you have the proper handle of the errors. As I indicated here, you can model, really, the errors. That is, modeling the foregrounds, for example, you can model the beam function, beam distortion. And by model, I mean that you really get out in the probability distribution of the noisance parameters. And a nice property is that these techniques already exist. We don't have to develop special analysis tools because this has already been done, for example, by Ben. And the method is further extensible because it's right and modular. We can, for example, let's say shown here, you can marginalize over the cosmologies. Okay, this is our model. And I can show you some results when I applied the model to the data. This is only a toy data set, so to speak. I considered only a relatively small number, one-dimensional pixel vector with 10 to 6 pixels. We had only a heptadiagonal covariance matrix. We can reconstruct the potential on only one radius, so one shell, neglecting the beam convolution and the transfer function. And we have simplicity only used Gaussian noise. And here come the results of the of the sampler. I indicated here with a solid, thick solid line, the true FNL, the input phi NL, sorry, phi NL, for some pixel values, just a section of 40 pixels. And I show the reconstruction in the thin solid line and the one sigma error bars with the dashed lines computed from the quantiles. I did the reconstructions. The reconstruction is based on 1,000 samples, and the input FNL here for this simulation was FNL equals 200, the signal to noise level for 6.1. And it's in this plot, it's not possible to distinguish phi N for phi NL from phi L because the difference is just too small. And if we increase the signal to noise level, the reconstruction gets much, much better as expected. So the error bars shrink. And phi L is just the difference between phi L and phi NL is just too small to be seen on this plot.
And either of these plots. Okay.
Yeah. So for FNL 200, there's no chance to see phi I here. And so it's not actually not positive. And this is the reconstruction of the phi NL vector, but we are interested in the reconstruction of FNL, of course, in this histogram. I can show you for input value of FNL equals 0. It's almost perfect Gaussian distribution you can obtain. And if you alter your input value, for example, as before, to FNL equals 200, then you see it shifts. As expected, 0 is down to the very left side, so this would correspond to a more than C sigma detection of FNL. Yes, it's 10 to the minus 5. That's expected from it's expected from the CMB fluctuations. And some properties of the sampler I'd like to show you just to say that it's, we have found a very efficient method. This is a sampling chain. And here the sample, 1,000 samples drawn, and you can see by eye that the mixing is quite excellent. And this is justified if you calculate the autocorrelation function of this FNL chain, it's essentially 0. So we have found a very efficient algorithm to do the calculation. Okay, and here I sum up my talk. I've argued that it's an argument for me that the frequent twist approach has some problems. I've shown you with the proper error propagation, and the Bayesian method there's an increasing interest in the Bayesian method in cosmology, and it has already been applied successfully to power spectrum analysis. And though the question is whether we can apply it to the detection FNL, and I just showed you a method to do it. So it's indeed possible to detect FNL within a Bayesian method. And this is the main advantage. And the Bayesian approach allows a proper treatment of the errors. Just a small caveat I have to do to remind you is that we did a small approximation, but so to speed up our algorithm, not doing Hamiltonian sampling, but this kind of Monte Carlo analysis. And thank you, I'll stop here.
So when will you have results for FNL using this method? When will you tell us whether or not FNL is zero?
I think it will last a little bit. We've done this analysis only on this toy model up to now, and of course we try to implement a full analysis of the government data.
Any guess when you and even FNL is an error bar attached?
Oh, sorry, I can't say anything about it. It's just words, but I'm working on it. So
yes, sir.
So let me try to pause again.